broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to today's edition of the War Room, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jake Lloyd. I'm going to be your host today, filling in for Owen Schroyer. He's on a little bit of a break. He will be back on Wednesday, I think. Tomorrow, you're going to have Harrison Smith filling in for him, hosting the show. We've got a great show for you today, folks. Lots of good stuff, lots of good guests, lots of good topics. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Not so much bombastic stuff like there was. Well, there's the Trump tweets at Iran. That's, I would say that's pretty bombastic. But we've got a little bit going on in the world, some interesting stuff for sure, a little bit more of the same, but we're just kind of developing things, not new hard-hitting stuff like the Trump-Russia meeting, the summit, or the Europe summit where Trump was at just a little bit while back. But we've got some good stuff. We've got a good show. We've got Vincent James of the Red Elephants on the other side of this short little segment. He's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about there's a kind of a fight going on right now in the government, in the American mind, over birthright citizenship. Birthright citizenship was originally given to allow freed black slaves to be de facto citizens. They were born in the United States. They get to be citizens. Their children get to be citizens. That's very good. But the problem is it's been used by people who have manipulated the system. They're taking advantage of the system. You have things like, for example, Chinese women coming to America pregnant, like 9 months pregnant, and then they come here. And, oh, what do you know? What a coincidence. They have a baby. And so now their baby is an American citizen. And then, you know, what? Well, they can't just leave the baby here. So now the mom's got to be an American citizen. And this is not just Chinese women. This is, I think Russian women do this. I think, well, surely, you know, Hispanic women, it's very dangerous if they're coming across the southern border pregnant. But these are the risks that some people are willing to take. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit. We're going to be getting into some of the trade wars. I'm going to have Ollie Alexander on after Vince James, and we're going to be talking about this whole Hollywood, the pedophile jokes. They're just jokes, folks. Whenever we talk about molesting children or things like that, we're from Hollywood, man. You know, it's cool. It's just jokes. It's just jokes, dude. Who cares? Let's make jokes about hurting children. It's just fun and games, dude. What? You conservatives are so stuffy. You libertarians are so stuffy. Shut up. Shut up. And you have ruined, like, people like me who just have, you know, I'm just like a normal conservative guy. You have ruined people's lives who believe like me for much, much less than that. Just merely supporting Trump. Little kids making memes, posting them on Reddit. And CNN goes after them. They go after them hard and they threaten to reveal their identity if they ever retract their apology. So I don't feel bad for these people. I don't feel bad for them at all. We're going to be getting into that with Ollie Alexander. He's had some really good takes on that on Twitter. Very, very good stuff from him. Ben Shapiro, man, he's got some weird views. I just, like, I don't get this guy. I don't get it. Like, who is he? He's a neocon, first of all. He, no matter how much he tries to be not establishment with this intellectual dark web thing, he is totally an established, like an old school establishment conservative. Buckleyite, Zionist, neocon, like, supports war. Bad guy, in my opinion. So he kind of didn't defend James Gunn's pedophile jokes, but he was saying, like, we shouldn't fire him because of this. Like, guys, the outrage machine is out of control. I mean, imagine if they did this to you. It's like, well, they do this to us, Ben. They do this to us for much less, for just believing that, like, taxes should be lower and they'd try to destroy our lives, okay? I'm done playing this little soft footing around if you catch my drift. I'm done with that. Let's hold them to their own standard, but for actual things like pro-pedophilia jokes. Anyways, we're also going to be getting into some good stuff with Roger Stone in the second hour. We're going to be talking about John Brennan, all of the deep state criminals. Folks, these people are going to go down. Like, they're going down. You see this coming out now with the pedophile Hollywood jokers, the jokesters. Yeah, they're going down soon. Tides are turning, folks. The tide is turning. We're going to have a good next couple years because people like me are not letting up. Vince James, Ollie Alexander, everybody here at Infowars, not letting up. Roger Stone, not letting up. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Jake Lloyd. We'll be right back on the other side with Vince James of the Red Elephants. Welcome back to the War Room, folks. My name is Jake Lloyd, your host. We're off to a good start. We're rolling along. Before we get too far into this, I'm not going to make this too long because I'm going to do another one in a little bit. But if I don't plug now and tell you to go to theinfowarsstore.com if you want to support us, I will get on a roll and I will forget this hour because we have such great guests coming up. So go and check out those excellent sales if you want to support the InfoWars crew, the InfoWars studios, all these different things. If you want to support the InfoWar, go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the excellent sales that we have going on. Lots of really, really good stuff. We'll get more into that later, but be sure to check it out while you're listening. This is The War Room, and we're back. My first guest today is Vince James of The Red Elephants. You can find him on Twitter at RealVinceJames. Very, very knowledgeable guy about a lot of different things, immigration statistics, a lot of different stuff. So, Vince, thank you for joining me today. I'm really glad to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, the first thing that I wanted to get into, I want to talk about birthright citizenship a little bit. Vox right now, they have an article out that it's basically just explaining why some people on the right want to end birthright citizenship and what they got wrong. Of course, you and I would probably disagree exactly on what probably the definition actually with Vox, but especially the prescriptions for it and whether or not we got it wrong. So I'd like to get your opinion. I explained it a little bit in the first segment. If you'd like to explain your basic opinions on birthright citizenship and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? I think it was the law in 1866. You know, I actually just recently did a video on kind of immigration into the United States and why the United States is not what they say, what they call it, as this nation of immigrants. It never was really set up to be that way. The founders didn't really want it to be that way. And actually, millions of Americans today still have ethnic lineage that go back to the original founders and settlers and the ones who freed this country from tyranny. So we are not a nation of immigrants in that aspect alone. But I think it was 1866 when it was really passed. And, you know, right now we have the Pew Research Hispanic reports that about 7.5% of all U.S. births in this country are to illegal immigrants. So there's 300,000 births per year to illegal immigrants, and Pew Research Hispanic reports that it's about 4.5 million children born to illegal immigrants that have birthright citizenship today, just within the past few years or so. So it's a big problem. And when it comes to illegal immigrants having children here, just as you stated, you know, there's Russians, there's all sorts of people coming over here. Chinese are the biggest ones coming over here to have children. The source of immigration into the U.S. is mainly coming from Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala. If you look at 40 of the 50 states, the source of immigration, the main source of immigration, is coming in from Mexico. So if you look back to 1790, the Naturalization Act of 1790, which stated that only free white men of good character can be citizens of the U.S., and then you look at 1796 and the immigration acts thereafter, you had to be here for 2 years, then you had to be here for 5 years, then you had to be here for at least 10 years, and you look at how that kind of transformed all the way up until 1954, actually. 1954 was the McCarran-Walter Act, where we had only 162,000 people can come over here annually. And two-thirds of that immigration was set aside for people coming from European countries, because people understood back then, even as early as the 1950s, that people coming from European countries would have an easier time of assimilation. There's a big difference between the immigrants of old, the immigrants of the 1800s, and the European immigration coming in through Ellis Island, who would come over on boats, they would wave the American flag, they would be happy, they would learn English immediately, they would assimilate into society, and the big thing is, they didn't have welfare, so they weren't becoming a public charge, versus today, we're having people who are coming across our border, waving Honduran flags, waving Mexican flags, chanting, "Make America Mexico Again," and 70% of all Hispanic immigrants coming from south of our border are on one or more welfare program, according to the Survey of Income Participation.
And it's also important to note that there were assimilation periods. Like you were saying, we have not always been this nation of immigrants. That phrase was coined in the late 1800s. It was adopted 1960.
A Nation of Immigrants was first created in 1963. The ADL asked JFK to write a book with the same name.
Yeah, so you're right. I'm thinking of the Melting Pot. I'm thinking of the Melting Pot. It was a play. It was from a play.
Melting Pot was 1903. It was a play, right? Yeah, 1903.
Yeah, but it's important to note what a lot of people think. You know, first of all of the arguments that I'm seeing so far, because Donald, this is a thing that Donald Trump talked about. Like, you can't just come over here, have a baby, and all of a sudden you and your baby are both American citizens. That's not fair. It's not the way that things should work. So the way that this is being phrased, first of all, is that we're somehow aligning ourselves. I think they said, like, they're conservatives, if they align themselves with this, are pro Dred Scott. And they're basically trying to frame it as like, oh, you're aligning yourselves with the people back in the day who didn't want black people to have citizenship. And that's simply not the case. Nobody's arguing against black people having citizenship in the United States, but that law was written in a way that allows it to be taken advantage of in our modern era by people coming across illegally and having children here. And also, the other thing that's important to note is that, first of all, like you were saying, you know, European people, obviously it's a European founded country, so it's going to be a little bit easier for those people to assimilate. I think the deal is that after three generations, an Italian, a German, and a Brit are virtually the same after three generations of living in America, whereas it might take a little bit longer for somebody from Africa or India, et cetera. And we also had breaks in between. We also had these periods where we'd have a little surge in immigration, really just kind of a few hundred thousand, maybe over a few years. And then we'd have a break for people to assimilate. And that was the case up until about, obviously, the Immigration Act of 1965. But since 1970, we've had 1 million people coming in per year with no stop.
Right. The thing is that they've used these things through our movies, through our media. You know, people who are young, people who are even older, they don't understand that some of these things were invented by some of these advocacy groups who were pushing immigration into our country. For instance, as I said, in 1963, the term "a nation of immigrants," that phrase was created by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, when they asked JFK to write a book for their series. And then it became so popular that even Germany is using the phrase now, that we are a nation of immigrants. Now, another thing is that you have to look at the Statue of Liberty. They've used this thing as kind of a beacon of, we have to accept all of these third world immigrants, and if you deny this, then you are a racist. Well, the Statue of Liberty was given to us from France as a token of commemorating 100 years of freedom. The poem on the Statue of Liberty, the New Colossus poem by Emma Lazarus, wasn't added to the Statue of Liberty until 17 years after it was erected. So the Statue of Liberty, as it was given to us, had absolutely zero to do with immigration. Well, people like the ADL, Hollywood, our media have turned this into this beacon of, this is in the harbor, this is what our country represents, when that statue has nothing to do with immigration whatsoever. So this was all an attempt back in the 60s to call the McCarran-Walter Act, the immigration act that we had back in the 1954 to 1965, racist and discriminatory, because it 2/3 of all immigration coming into this country was set aside for European people who are going to have an easier time of assimilation, on average are going to have higher IQs, and also were not on any sort of welfare coming into this country. So there's a huge difference between now and back then, and what is happening now.
Right. And another interesting thing, this is a little bit less important, but it's just kind of like, how do people actually see America? Because that, you know, we're a nation of immigrants, but that poem says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, and it says your wretched refuse of your teeming shores. That's not how I like to look at the people of America. I don't think of Americans as wretched refuse. We came here, we colonized it, we're pioneers, we conquered it, we threw off the shackles of Great Britain, and we established the greatest nation that's ever been on the face of this earth. And if other people want to come here and enjoy that, we can work that out. But I do not at all like the idea of referring to Americans as wretched refuse. That's not the kind of people that I want to bring into my country either. We'll be right back on the other side with another segment with Vince James of the Red Elephants.
Infowars.com/show.
Well, we're back at the War Room live Great segment in the Just segment right before this, talking about immigration, how it's been evolved, how it's been used to kind of change the narrative and really bring in more voters that favor things like the welfare state. Also to bring in more people who are not going to assimilate because they're not given any kind of assimilation period or integration training or anything like that, which causes division in the United States, obviously. I'm back with Vince James of the Red Elephants. Now, Vince, this segment, I want to get into a little bit the trade war runoff that we're kind of having to deal with right now. There's an article right here that says the trade war chickens are coming home to roost. And this is something that a lot of people have a problem with. Billions of pounds of meat fill U.S. warehouses with nowhere to go. And this kind of comes from the idea, obviously liberals are going to use this however they can to make the president look bad, to make his movement look bad, conservatives look bad, what have you, you name it. So, but there's this kind of thought in a lot of center-right circles that the only thing that matters is the economy. The only thing that, and of course it is an important topic, but if the GDP goes down, then we're failing. There's nothing good. Like, there's nothing we can do that offsets that. And that's what we're having with this, with headlines like this that are saying like that the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say. Do you think, I mean, I think I know the answer will be pretty simple, then we'll get into it. What do you think about this idea that there's nothing higher to strive after than the GDP of the United States?
Yeah, this is something that this is like the grand old party talking point, right? This is the standard run-of-the-mill conservative talking point: taxes, taxes this, taxes that, GDP this, GDP that, economy this, economy that. And they completely disregard what younger conservatives are more interested in, and that is the immigration topic. This is what Donald Trump was elected on. You know, you talk about poultry plants. We can go to the poultry plant in North Carolina called the House of Rayford Farms. Their sister company was actually raided by ICE back in 2008, 2009. And House of Rayford Farms got spooked by this and started purging their entire workforce of all of the people that they thought might be illegally here in this country. And within 1 year, they went from 80% Latino working their workforce, 80% Latino workforce, to about an 80% black workforce. So this is what people mean when we're talking about illegal immigration, when we talk about immigrants coming here from south of our border who are low-skilled, low-wage workers, who, according to Pew Research, over 50% don't even graduate high school. And also, according to the same SIPP poll, over 70% of all Hispanic immigrants are on one or more welfare program for 20 plus years. So there's a big problem with immigration here in our country that I think is the biggest issue that we should be focusing on, instead of the old tactics of the GOP where they talked about, you know, the economy and taxes and things like this, because conservatism of old has actually conserved nothing. I mean, we have men in tights, you know, marching down the street and dancing in front of our children today. We have all of these different social issues and all of these different immigration issues that we're facing today, a backlog of 700,000 immigration cases. We are literally being invaded, and the GOP, you know, the Paul Ryan types, the rhinos, are still talking about taxes. Now, as far as the trade wars go, I had Ian Fletcher, who is an economist. He wrote the book Free Trade Doesn't Work, and he's a conservative, and he also co-authored the book The Conservative Case Against Free Trade. See, free market, what a lot of people don't understand, the free market within the U.S., as long as you have nationalism first, will work like a charm every single time, as long as you have nationalism first. But the problem is that we even have on the neocon side, on the right-wing side, we have these corporations who are backed with lobbyists and who are working with our politicians to bring in all of these low-wage, low-skilled workers so that they can coin a higher profit. So that is not the free market. That is not putting nationalism first. You have to put nationalism first before you could have free trade within the U.S. Now, in terms of global free trade, when you look at global free trade, we all know this cannot work, because you look at the smokestacks in China. You look at how they produce the things that they produce in China. And this is actually pretty hilarious when you have people like Paul Krugman for the New York Times and some of these other leftists who are trying to put their support behind free trade and the free market, which they never were for before. Bernie Sanders even talked about fixing the trade deficits. This is one of the major talking points that he ran on while he was trying to run for president, or while he was trying to run for the Democratic nomination against Hillary Clinton. So you can't have free global trade when you can't compete with places like China in terms of you know, some of the things, some of the regulations that we have on clean air, clean coal, all these different EPA regulations that we have that they don't have. I mean, if you look in cases like Brazil, for instance, you buy a car there, just a standard Toyota Camry in Brazil, it's going to cost you $75,000 because of the import taxes. Now, on the other side of the coin, you have the Fiats, which they manufacture there. I know it's an Italian car, but they have manufacturing there, and those are the cheapest cars. Those are what most people have as cars, and also the Volkswagens as well. So they want to give incentives for their people to buy the cars that they manufacture within their country and highly import tax the cars that aren't manufactured within their country with ease. So these are things that we have to look at. What Donald Trump is doing is he's basically putting pressure on China. Every other country needs us more than we need them. He's putting pressure on them, and he's going to win this in the end. We're going
right.
to fix
and,
our
and well,
trade
this is
deficit.
One, like you were saying, this is one of the things that he was talking about in the campaign. He says, you know, we would love free trade if everybody played by the rules, but nobody does. They take advantage of us because China, for example, China has their currency manipulation. Companies send factories over to China. They have one thing, you know, they get the resources from a country in Africa or Southeast Asia. They send it to China to be manufactured, or they send it to Taiwan to be made, and then they sell it, you know, here and there, and it goes all over the world before it comes back here, just so that it can be sold for a, you know, pennies less, really. And, or excuse me, so it can be made for pennies less and they can make, you know, that much more profit on it. But all that money could be going into American pockets. And Mexico, of course, is making a killing off of us. All these different things, like you were saying, this is one of the things that Trump really ran on in the campaign. Free trade sounds great, but in reality, other countries just use that to take advantage of us. Whereas, and I definitely agree with what you were saying about free trade within the United States working very well, but we do have to use our influence to check other countries and the way that they're treating us. And you're also making some really good points about how the conservatives of the past, you know, kind of the Buckleyite conservatives, haven't done very much. And one of the things that I've talked with Nick Fuentes a few times about is this concept that after the gay marriage decision of the Supreme Court, conservatives kind of decided, okay, well, we lost that battle. We're just going to forget about social issues because we were told that the slippery slope argument was a lie. But now, like you said, we have men in tights, drag queens in elementary schools teaching kids because the slippery slope is actually real. So I thought that I'd point that out real quick, but I didn't want to interrupt, but I thought that was an important point to really highlight there.
No, for sure. I mean, look at, when you look at conservatism, when you look at the way the conservatism has been going, like you said, you have men in tights dancing on stage to second graders, transgenders dancing in schools in front of second graders. You have illegal immigration and immigration waves to the point of even legal immigration to the point of within by 2050, the Democrats are going to have 60 million more people alive who would likely vote Democrat than the Republicans are going to have. That's just not sustainable.
Excellent, excellent point, ladies and gentlemen. Vince James of the Red Elephants. You can find him on Twitter at RealVinceJames. Very, very smart guy, intelligent. Thank you, Vince, for joining me. Appreciate it. We'll be right back on the other side with Ollie Alexander.
Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jake Lloyd. I will be your host for the rest of today's show. Owen Schroyer is out today. I think he's taking a little bit of a short little vacation, so I'm going to be filling in for him today. Harrison Smith is going to be filling in for him tomorrow, so don't miss that. Had a great guest on just now, Vince James of the Red Elephants, talking about some really interesting stuff, immigration, illegal immigration, that is, as well as the trade wars, all that different stuff. I want to take a moment really quick to urge you again to go to InfoWarsStore.com if you'd like to support us, if you like seeing new people on the show, seeing me be able to fill in for Owen Schroyer, people like me being able to go out and do reports, go around the country, do all kinds of crazy stuff to show you guys what's going on in the world, then please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. You get to support this organization bringing you real news. You get to support us. You get the great video content, the articles, all the news, but you also get an excellent product, an excellent supplement. We have a lot of stuff right there. You see there's Knockout, which is a great sleep aid. Brain Force helps me focus. I hear that it does a lot of great things for a lot of people as far as focus and energy goes without any kind of jitters. So that's a great product there. If you're into nootropics, I had never used any nootropics or anything until I tried Brain Force, but so as far as I know, that is the best one on the market, but we always have the best products for you here at InfoWarsStore.com, so please be sure to check it out, as well as the X2. I'm not sure if that's still in short supply, but even if it's not, it's still a great product that you should check out. It really makes you feel clean, healthy, and good, so check that out. Defeat the Democrat censorship sale. We are under a lot of censorship, folks, so please support us. My guest for this segment and the next one is Ali Alexander. You can find him on Twitter at Ali, A-L-I. I'm really surprised that you were able to get that. You probably got that when Twitter was very young, I'd imagine, because that looks like it'd probably be a pretty hot handle there. But yeah, you can find him on Twitter at Ali, or if you want to support his work, you can find him on Patreon.com, /Ali Alexander. So you can find him there. How are you today, sir? Thank you for joining me.
You know, I'm good. You know, it's been a weird weekend. It was kind of a working weekend. You know, while I do politics professionally, I consider myself an activist first and foremost. And, you know, as many of InfoWars viewers and listeners are aware, you know, we're at war with Hollywood right now. And so I'm unshaven, I'm unkept, and I'm working my sources inside of Hollywood. There are conservatives secretly working for studios and record labels. And so, you know, but I'm so happy to be here with you, Jake.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's the first thing that I wanted to get into and talking about a little bit. We've seen a lot of kind of crazy stuff happening on Twitter. First, it happened with this James Gunn guy who's the director. He was the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, no longer. Some people started kind of noticing that crazy. He said some crazy things about that, about pedophilia jokes in the past, and then Mike Cernovich picked it up and kind of started exposing it. Now he's no longer the director, and this has begun to happen to a lot of other people. So first, I'd like to hear your kind of basic assessment, your description of what's going on with these Hollywood jokers and their, you know, quote, pedophile jokes, because it's obviously a laughing matter. Right. Ha ha. So I'd like to get your opinion on that, and then we can get into some people on the, you know, the right wing, the conservative wing, like Ben Shapiro, who are almost defending this kind of behavior.
The corporatist, really. Well, really, what I first want to disclose is I'm really a free speech absolutist. I'm the president of a nonprofit called the National Bloggers Club. Andrew Breitbart, the late, great Andrew Breitbart, said on the board of my nonprofit, we used to throw the largest annual gathering of center right bloggers and journalists. There was a man who I was suing in Alabama for defamation and libel at one point, but a judge in an entirely different case than when I was suing him, used a preliminary injunction to jail this wild left-wing lying blogger. And I actually, you know, was quoted in the New York Times saying that this was wrong. So I am somebody who has stood up for my enemies and people who have slandered me. But this isn't a joke, and this isn't an issue that we can give quarter. What we know is that there is a casting couch inside of Hollywood that has victimized women and children. What we know is that James Gunn, unlike one, he's not a stand-up comedian. That's the biggest lie that I hate. He's not a stand-up comedian. He is a writer-director who has authored some comedies, but he is not a stand-up comedian. So this isn't someone who has to make you know, money living on the edge like somebody equally disgusting like Sarah Silverman or one of these other people. Next is he had over 10,000 tweets that he was forced to delete. And these were not just pedophilistic jokes. These were postings. You know, he had one posting saying that he was linking to 100 prepubescent girls touching themselves. This was after a lot of research, which is very scary to be doing, really, Jake. But a lot of research, I found out that this actually did not link to child porn. But in the United States, simply saying that something is child porn like that is also a felony. So that was a felony. And he also has an associate who just a month ago, I believe, pled guilty to housing child pornography. These guys exchanged Facebook messages and Facebook posts that led to the posting of this 100 prepubescent girls. So I actually think that James Gunn is a case where it wasn't joking. It's not a free speech issue. This is somebody who is directing and writing children's movies, working with children. At the very minimum, we need to protect him and the children from his actions and his comments. If they were just jokes and they were just comments, that would be bad enough to keep from children. But, you know, it's very scary what's going on. We've seen that this is actually systemic routine and that everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's very, very disturbing for any of you who out there have seen the tweets. If you're on Twitter, you've probably seen screenshots of them going around. The good thing is, however, you know, you can't just delete these kind of tweets and then get away with it. Oh, it's not there because we have screenshots, but we also have archive links.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's people going out just, you know, because Mike Cernovich was one of the biggest voices really pressing this stuff. He was kind of the one that got it out there first. But now they're going after Mike, saying that he's harassing people. He's trying to get people fired. But I mean, these are, I mean, like you said, I think that these are credible threats. I think that they're credible statements. You can't go, first of all, it's not funny. Those type of jokes are just not funny. Because it's very real. I mean, it's life-destroying. It's sick stuff. And plus, like, why would you even want to put yourself, like, if somebody searches for, like, that kind of thing, why would you even want to be associated with that kind of filth? But anyways, it's not even just jokes. Like you said, he labeled things. You know, he said that he was linking to this. He also had different, like, there was multiple instances of that, actually.
Yep.
And, you know, to quote, you know, as Alex would say, he said about different people, I'm sure he would agree about this guy. He does not, if you watch like an interview with him, he just exudes this kind of like weird metaphysical vibe. Like you wouldn't want him around your kids. So he's a very creepy guy. But, you know, do you think that this is wrong to go after these people, even if it's labeled as harassment, which it's clearly not? Do you think that this is wrong to say like, hey, you know, go report this stuff. It's gross. It's evil. It's wrong.
Hell no. Hell no. I'm not calling for the government to lock up this guy, even though I agree with Senator Ted Cruz, who has broken with Ben Shapiro, Eric Erickson, David French, and the National Review crowd, who's trying to call this a free speech issue. Look, parents and consumers, you and I, Disney is one of the largest corporations in America. They own ABC. They fired Roseanne Barr for a tweet reply that was not racist. I've contended. I came on this show and talked about that. But this guy had 10,000 tweets. At the bare minimum, we as society have a social and cultural obligation to police each other as neighbors and say what speech should be socially shunned, what speech should be culturally unacceptable. This is etiquette. These are the rules of etiquette. He had 10,000 tweets that he deleted. He had a blog with a body of work that had hundreds of thousands of words on that. He is connected to convicted child pornographers. If there was ever a glaring case where we ought to police somebody's speech socially, culturally, and then let the FBI investigate, James Gunn would be at the very, very tip top of that list. And I don't understand these supposed social conservatives, you know, Ben Shapiro is way far right on these issues. Why? Well, I have a suspicion. Why he would defend somebody?
Right, that's a great point. We're going to get into that on the other side because I do want to get into the double standard that the left has, but then also why people like Ben Shapiro are defending that. Ali Alexander with me on the other side. This is the War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Jake Lloyd hosting for the rest of today's War Room, filling in for Owen Schroyer today. I am your host, Jake Lloyd. My guest is Ali Alexander. We've been talking about this controversy on Twitter, which is carried over into the corporate world, where these people, Hollywood people, whether they're directors, comedians, Michael Ian Black, I want to talk about him in a little bit because he's also got some of this filthiness going on his Twitter. But they've made these comments in the past, and then somebody dug them up, and bigger, more high-profile people like Mike Cernovich caught on to it, started pointing it out, just saying, hey, look at these, look at the sick stuff that these sick people are saying. And now, for example, James Gunn is out of a job. And we were talking about that last segment. Number one, it's just not funny. But two, it's okay to police people's speech. This is sick stuff. They were saying sick things. And plus, what I wanted to get into this segment a little bit, because this is a secondary issue, but it's also important. The left, the liberal media establishment, Hollywood, they have ruined people's lives over nothing. Over nothing. Like just somebody, you know, has secret conservative views in Hollywood, doxxed, life ruined just for being a conservative. Mobs sent to their house, people getting swatted, all kinds of stuff. And now here we have somebody actually saying reprehensible, morally repugnant things, potentially a real threat of them actually being a child pornographer. Who knows? I don't have enough evidence to support that right now, but it looks like it might be the case. He has connections, or there's allegations that that's the case, at least. I'm not going to say whether or not that's so, but it, some people are saying that it might be. And we're getting told that it's an outrage mob. It's a targeted harassment. So Michael Ian Black is saying that it's Russians orchestrating this targeted campaign. And we expect this from liberals. We expect this from Hollywood and the media establishment. But what you might not expect right away, you know, maybe you would, I don't know. People like Ben Shapiro, David French, who's another one of these like kind of neocon establishment type National Review characters, they're coming out and almost practically defending this guy. So Ollie, you know a little bit more about this aspect of it than I do. What is going on with these people that are supposedly social conservatives?
Yeah, let me disclose this. I've known Eric Erickson for 9 years. I've known David French for 6 years, and I've known Ben Shapiro for maybe 6 years or something. I've worked in GOP politics for 11 years professionally on the Republican electioneering side and then the conservative movement side. Those are two different things. And so I know these guys. And I will say this. I like David. David actually represented me for a time as my lawyer. So I like David a lot. But I don't like these double standards. Roseanne was fine to fire, and James Gunn is not. James Gunn is worth $100 million, Jake. He's going to be fine. No one's calling to string him up, to hang him high. They're simply saying he shouldn't be working on children's movies. And Yahoo had the audacity to call Mike Cernovich a white supremacist out of all of this, which really pisses me off because, you know, I've known Mike now for 2 years. We didn't get along at first, but I saw the man's heart. He's married to a Persian woman. He's raising a Persian daughter. It's absolutely fantastical, the allegations that are being lobbed against my friends who are child advocates. And these movement conservatives who want to appear on CNN, who tell me and Kanye and Candace not to appear on InfoWars and talk to millions of people about issues that are concerning the entire American populace, is absolutely, you know, I know I can't cuss on here. It's hogwash. It's hogwash, to put it mildly. So Ben Shapiro came out in favor. He scurried to James Gunn's defense Friday morning without examining any of the evidence. He was on his side. He said he needs his job back. He doesn't need to be fired. This is a hate mob. This will cost him future contracts. I mean, and it's just total BS. I actually have a piece coming out on Milo Yiannopoulos' site, dangerous.com. It's coming out later this evening. And I actually am going to present some evidence that the public has not considered yet, both about Gunn and Shapiro. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to make your stomach curl, Jake. And your instincts are correct, but I know, you know, you're a responsible journalist. We can't go around alleging, you know, this or that without evidence, but I'm certainly going to widen this issue. I plan to keep this issue going for another week. I think it's what Andrew Breitbart would have wanted.
I think so. I think Breitbart definitely would have done something like that. But I mean, this is the type of thing. It's okay. So Roseanne, who is, you know, conservative or not, she was a vocal Trump supporter. She makes one comment, not racist, like she's even said a million times, like
she has a record of being pro-minority. She has a
exactly,
record
and she's a Jewish woman. She's a Jewish woman. Is she a white supremacist now? Like, come on, is she a Nazi? But so Roseanne, like Ben Shapiro, if I'm not mistaken, crew, maybe you guys can look this up, but I'm pretty sure his position was like, well, you know, it's a free market. ABC can do what they want. You know, maybe Roseanne should be more careful with her words. And that's Ben Shapiro's position. But then in this instance, Ben Shapiro's like, well, we can't let the outrage mob govern our public discourse. Like, we can't do that. It's so uncivilized. Like, this is the type of, I'm not going to say Ben Shapiro is controlled opposition, but like, this is the type of thing that makes you think that somebody might be controlled opposition whenever they're, you know, ostensibly conservative like him. And then they say things like every time that the conservatives get in trouble, it's like, well, you know, guys, it's a free market. And then every time that the liberals do something, we have to defend them. Like, that seems kind of controlled opposition-ish to me. I don't know what your opinion on that is, but that's just kind of what it seems like to me.
I'm a professional. I'm a non-conspiracist. I'm somebody who dabbles in fact and philosophy. But I will tell you, this past 2 years has been remarkable to watch some of my dearest friends and inspirations inside of the movement do backflips on their conservative ideology just to get at Trump, just to get at Alex, just to get at Mike, and just to get at Milo. I mean, it is truly fantastical. And what I will say is this, look, you know, I'm a little bit of an elitist, but most people watching this broadcast, 99% of people aren't as well read as I am, aren't as well studied as I am. But I will tell you, the people have common sense and their instincts are correct. This is not the form of Burkean or Reagan conservatism that we were promised, that these guys are trained in. They are totally violating their own ideology and their own principles, and it's total BS. I could expect an anarcho, you know, libertarian or anarchist saying, you know, we don't need any standards. Ben is a far right social conservative. He is to the right of Alex, the right of me, the right of Mike Cernovich. You know, I don't know your politics, but he's to the right of Owen on all of these social issues. You know, the stuff that Ben has said about blacks and Arabs and gays, you know, would make, you know, wallpaper peel off the wall. And, you know, yet he labels falsely his opposition and stuff. And it makes you think it's controlled. It makes you believe that, you know, Hollywood and Ben have an agreement. Well, you'll be the safe conservative. You'll be the voice that will protect our commerce, and we can have this fight where we can both make money on both sides. That's exactly what, whether that's what it is or not, that's what's happening, Jake. That's what's happening.
And exactly. I mean, if you look at like the people that these guys, you know, purport to, like Ben Shapiro, at least, I know David French, I know some of his work and everything. I'm not quite as familiar with him as I am with Ben Shapiro's recent antics. But if you look at people like Milton Friedman, et cetera, they should be supporting like that socially, whatever happens, happens. Because mm-hmm. I mean, the concept that they believe in, they're these free marketeers, Milton Friedman types. So the idea is that the government has no role in anything economy. They don't fire people. They don't control who does what, where in the market. But socially, you know, it's up to the public. And that's kind of the libertarian perspective. And that's fine. But it's like, I don't know why people like Ben Shapiro just suddenly lose that. So I don't know. I actually, you know, I've read most of this article. I kind of skimmed through it. But I mean, I don't get how you can go from saying that Roseanne was rightly fired to saying that James Gunn was let go and he shouldn't have been. I mean, I know that I've said that, you know, once or twice already, but I'm just frankly flabbergasted that's the case from Ben Shapiro.
It's BS, Ben Shapiro, BS, Ben Shapiro, BS. That's what this is. And if you read this article, Jake, which I want everyone to read it, this needs to be the last time everybody goes to dailywire.com, is it doesn't actually address any of the issues. It doesn't argue for any moral standards, any conservative standards. It's total BS, which is why I now have a petition to make Disney not consider reconsider rehiring him. There's a big petition on change.org. They want James Gunn rehired. I don't want him rehired. I don't want Gunn's pedophile fans and Ben Shapiro to get their way. So I think that people need to go to this petition and we need to make our voices heard. This is the free market and I'm a conservative and I'm standing with parents and child advocates. And I, you know, I appreciate the time to come here and plug that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. This is very important stuff that we need to get out there. It's about time that conservatives used their clout, the silent majority, used their voice to actually get these sick, sick people out of their power positions. You can find Ali on Twitter at Ali. You can find him on Patreon, patreon.com/AliAlexander. Please support him there. Great work. Keep up with him. He's very, very smart. Thank you, Ali, for joining us. We'll be right back on the other side.
Infowars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The View. A panel of leftists spewing Alinskyite propagandized slogans based on weaponized disinformation to their gullible mob audience. It's only a matter of time before Trump derangement syndrome begins to bubble to the surface.
I'm not an ideologue. I mean, I have been in the crime business for over three decades, and I think I said that before. And I know a con when I see it. And I think that what has happened in the last, truly, in the last campaign, and everybody needs to be concerned about that. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind.
Not an ideologue.
Yeah. I'm not. And I am in law enforcement.
Let me ask you the question.
Right and wrong.
Do you think Donald Trump embraces and embodies conservative ideology? Remember, he used to be have a different position on pro-choice. He's imposing tariffs. He's against globalism. Do you think he is an ideologue that is faithful to conservative policies?
You know, I'm not here to talk about what Donald Trump is and isn't.
But you're talking about him. No, you got to answer the question.
I'm here to talk about the book. You want to talk about Donald Trump? You tell me what metric in this country is worse off. Unemployment is lower than it's been in 50 years. Minorities, Hispanics, African Americans have jobs
when they haven't
had. It's not because of Obama.
Hate crimes are worse off.
Wait a minute. The GDP under Obama was barely one. We're going up to four.
And if Democrats don't get their you-know-what together, he's certainly going to get reelected.
Well, here's my question for you, because you talk about...
I am not, Judge.
Nobody
Oh, yeah.
Did you just point at me?
Yes!
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of... I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation.
This is where the Trump derangement syndrome starts to fester. Whoopi is arguing a moot point. Yes, Whoopi, over 32% of federal inmates in the U.S. are illegal aliens. And yes, roughly 5,000 U.S. citizens die every year as a result of illegal alien drivers. And yes, there is a largely ignored rape epidemic of American children by illegal aliens. And yes, it does cost the U.S. taxpayers roughly $113 billion per year to pick up the tab on the illegals pouring over our border. Whoopi's frustration is meaningless because, regardless of what fantasy the left may believe, we do have immigration laws, and most Americans want them enforced and strengthened.
Listen, I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody be so dismissive.
Next, Whoopi mockingly asked, what is the deep state? As if it were on par with the fictional Legion of Doom.
One of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Unfortunately, the judge isn't permitted to answer, so I will answer for her. The deep state is a massive bureaucratic fourth branch of government that continues to infest Washington, D.C., as it remains indefinitely immune to our election process. As presidents and congressmen have come and gone, foreign and internal corruption have ensured that the deep state has grown in stature, feeding on, limiting, and ultimately destroying our Bill of Rights in order to gain an elitist totalitarian stranglehold on our country and its citizens. Its minions inhabit the intelligence community, the Pentagon, congressional lobbyists and politicians, think tanks like the Council on Foreign Relations, and representatives of the United Nations as the UN agendas 21 and 30 are wielded on sovereignty across the globe. Its origins in the United States are embedded in the history of the Federal Reserve. And we have been told of its intentions. Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex. JFK warned us of secret societies. And previous presidencies have exposed its power by kowtowing to policies in direct opposition of their own promises to the American citizenry. It's not a small...
Welcome back. You're on the War Room here at InfoWars with your host, Roger Stone. Today, in the co-pilot's chair, my colleague, Jake Lloyd, sitting in for the ever-natty Owen Schroyer. Well, that was an extraordinary exchange. The idea of Judge Jeanine Pirro, who has served the public as a dedicated and elected prosecutor, as the district attorney of Westchester County, New York, where she was known as an advocate for children and women and a tough prosecutor who put criminals away, clashing with Anna Navarro of CNN, a woman who, according to the New York Times, got caught lying about being an attorney, for which she was discharged from Jeb Bush's administration. Navarro said it was a miscommunication. Jeanine Pirro is an extraordinary woman of courage, but she didn't get a chance to answer the question about whether Donald Trump is a supporter of conservative orthodoxy. He's not. He's a populist conservative. He's a patriot. His supporters don't agree with him about everything, but on the big picture of bringing fundamental reform to the country, to being a champion of nationalism, of American exceptionalism, of American sovereignty, I think he's solid. So we have a great show for you today. Jake, great to be with you.
It's great to be with you, Roger.
Let's take a quick look at the developments over the last 72 hours. Under extraordinary pressure, because Rod Rosenstein has been stonewalling the U.S. House in terms of turning over the documents pertaining to the application of the FISA warrant on low-level Trump volunteer Carter Page, and with more and more fingers pointing at Peter Strzok's intersection with the FISA court judge, the fact that the special counsel is stonewalling requests for information regarding the FISA warrants in Paul Manafort's trial in the discovery process, the government put out an extraordinary CYA document. Of the 400 pages of the FISA warrant application released by the FBI, 300 pages are completely redacted. Now, FBI Director James Comey said under oath that the FISA warrant application was based on a broad mosaic of information. We now know, based on this disclosure by the FBI, that they had one basis for their FISA warrant, and it was their own self-created phony dossier. This is like eating your own excrement. It's kind of like a centipede. And it is so obvious. Why media outlets like Vox go out and say Carter Page was under surveillance because the FBI believed he was being recruited by the Russians is laughable. They are so busted. Lloyd, tell us, what's your take?
Well, like you said, Roger, near the beginning, Page is a nobody. Page, I think I heard on Fox News earlier, I'm not quite as familiar, I haven't been in politics as long, but I think they said that he refers to his connection with the Trump campaign as being informal. He's an informal volunteer advisor, basically. He has no actual connections with Donald Trump. And we've known this from the beginning. We've known this from the very beginning when he was implicated as having Russian connections. So Page is clearly just another scapegoat of sorts. And I'm surprised we even got anything out of this. It looks like congratulations to Judicial Watch for getting this stuff out there, because I think they were really relying on their familiar old process of doing their things, whether it's crimes, shady stuff or whatever, and then having their deep state buddies in the Justice Department and the FBI do everything, keep the files under lock and key, not a public investigation, and just being able to push it under the rug, saying that nothing actually happened. So I think they were counting on that. But as we see, this is once again totally legitimate. And, you know, unfortunately, because you're also at the center of this unjustly, you're definitely the expert, so you know a little bit more than I do. But I mean, frankly, it's disgusting the way that they continue to try and trot out these old tactics But with the election of Donald Trump, we're finally starting to see some of this come to the surface. And I don't think they'll be able to continue getting away with it forever.
Well, Jake, you're absolutely right. We don't yet know about whether, as the New York Times reported on January 20th, 2017, whether I was a subject of a FISA warrant or whether Paul Manafort was. The Times has declined to retract that page one story. I have filed over 30 Freedom of Information Act requests with the government. They are stonewalling my requests. It is not yet ripe for a tort action, a lawsuit against the government over the potential violation of my civil rights and my right to privacy, but that time will come. It is obvious now that they were looking to take the pressure off and throwing this document out and then having the fake news media outlets like CNN and MSNBC and the Daily Beast and the other fake news media try yet again to spin their false narrative, not even recognizing the irony of the fact that these disclosures prove that they're guilty. The entire Russian collusion investigation is meant to be a distraction from the much larger and more serious crime of the use of the surveillance capability and authority of the state to spy on Donald Trump's campaign for president. That is, by any measure, a crime far more significant than Watergate. This is nothing less than an abuse of power as the country has never seen, and it is their entire game plan to distract from it by pointing at Donald Trump and the phony claim of Russian collusion. Now, it's important to distinguish between ham-handed, ineffective meddling by the Russians and collusion that included conspiracy or coordination with the Trump campaign, which to date there is still absolutely no evidence of. Anyway, we are going to continue to focus on this for you. Also joining us in the program is John Guandolo. John Guandolo is a counterterrorism expert who was an FBI agent assigned to the counterterrorism division in Washington, D.C. He is the man who created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training program, and he is a bit of an expert on the dealings of a certain John Brennan. John Brennan is the deep state psychopath who keeps threatening the president on Twitter. We're going to focus on exactly who John Brennan is and what his track record is when it comes to veracity and integrity, because I believe he's the chief perp in the phony dossier scam. In fact, I think he's lied about it under oath in front of the Congress. That's why I was glad to see Congressman Bob Goodlatte signal that he seeks to subpoena Mr. Brennan to start answering questions. I'm Roger Stone. I'm here with Jake Lloyd. You're at the War Room. And please take a moment, if you would, to go to the Infowars.com site now and give us the kind of support we need to continue to expand and improve this very broadcast. What Owen Schroyer and I do here at the War Room every day is essentially funded by your loyal support in buying the cutting-edge nutraceuticals, books, T-shirts, and other great products at the Infowars.com site. Your patronage also allows us to continue our journalistic independence. We have no multinational corporations as advertisers trying to control what we bring you in terms of content here at InfoWars. Take a moment and go to the InfoWars.com store and look at these amazing specials where some of our very most popular products are at 50% off, including my all-time favorite, Brain Force Plus. I'm Roger Stone. Jake Lloyd's in the co-pilot seat. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, fellow patriots. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at InfoWars.com on The War Room. Former CIA Director John Brennan may be the single most dangerous psychopath in the deep state. Incredibly, Brennan became director of the CIA under Barack Obama, despite the fact that he admitted supporting the Communist Party candidate for president in 1976. When I said that on InfoWars, Snopes rated that online as untrue. But if one will simply check, Mr. Brennan admitted that he was a supporter of Communist Gus Hall, and also told New York Magazine how he skirted the question of whether he'd actually been a member of the Communist Party. So, Snopes, you're busted. You're just a fat guy with Coke bottle glasses. Nobody believes you. Joining us now, John Guandolo, not only a great patriot, but a man who has served his country with distinction in the ranks of the FBI. Typical of the rank and file men and women of that agency who are not politicized, who are law enforcement professionals committed to the security and integrity of the United States. Mr. Guandolo is a former FBI agent and the expert on counterterrorism who created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training and education program. Mr. Guandolo, welcome to InfoWars.
Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it, Roger.
I have followed your writing for some time, and I know that you are a bit of an expert on John Brennan. I find it curious that a man who admitted that he was an active supporter of the Communist Party candidate for president at the height of the Cold War would become the FBI director. When I said on MSNBC that I also believe that Mr. Brennan was a convert to Islam, I was mocked by Ari Melber and other elitist snots as if that allegation has no basis in fact. Can you help educate the American people for us here, Mr. Guandolo?
I sure can. Story first came to light a few years ago, and we actually did a video of this at Understanding the Threat, my organization, when I did an interview with the United West, and I was asked the question, and I shared that there are individuals in the government who I know who gave me direct information that while he was the station chief for the CIA in Saudi Arabia, John Brennan, in front of Saudi officials, including the Mubaith, Saudi intelligence, said the Shahada, the Muslim statement of faith, which is a conversion to Islam. And my point of sharing that was not merely to say that he converted to Islam, but to say, as the station chief of the CIA, to do so in front of Saudi intelligence gives all the appearances of a recruitment by a foreign intelligence agency of the CIA's most senior man in a country, Saudi Arabia. Now, just recently, approximately 6 months ago, former CIA station chief Brad Johnson on another program openly said that it was well known in the CIA and people had directly reported to him that John Brennan was a Muslim convert. And there was no secret about that. And so here is a guy who had just retired from the CIA as a station chief, confirming what I had said several years prior. And that information came to me by people that I trust, who are still working inside the government and who were present at the time and were aware of this.
Well, we know that Mr. Brennan is fluent in the Arabic language. We know that on the occasion of his swearing in as the FBI director, he refused to be sworn on a Bible, preferring to be sworn on the Constitution. That would indicate that he's not a Christian and that he was, in fact, a convert to Islam, which I think any American should find deeply troubling. The other thing I found most interesting about Mr. Brennan was the fact that he very clearly spied on a U.S. Senate committee that was exercising its oversight authority, examining whether the Central Intelligence Agency had engaged in illegal torture in violation of our laws and our morals. Then, when caught, he tried to blame low-level analysts and operatives for the CIA. The question isn't when John Brennan tells the truth or when he lies. I guess the question is, when does he really tell the truth? I also believe that we have more and more evidence that the dirty dossier, a creation of our intelligence agencies, working in essence with Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democratic National Committee, is in fact the brainchild of John Brennan himself. He has said under oath before the Congress that he knows nothing about it. No one believes that's the truth. Congressman Goodlatte of Virginia seeks to get Mr. Brennan under oath. He prefers, I think, to talk on Twitter, where he says things like, "Just wait, Trump, wait till you see what Mueller has." Mr. Brennan is a private citizen. How would he know what Mr. Mueller has? That's why I applaud Senator Rand Paul today, who is moving aggressively to urge the president to strip Mr. Brennan of his national security clearances. John Brennan is a very dangerous guy. I want to mention that you are the president and founder of Understanding the Threat, a fine organization that is committed to bringing us more education about these dangers. Tell people how they can support your important work, John.
Well, thank you for giving me that opportunity. Our website is understandingthethreat.com. If there's one thing anybody does, I would encourage them to sign up for our newsletter, because what that does is gives them access. We have a 30-minute radio show, a 30-minute weekly TV show. We put out articles every week, and the website itself is a great resource. I want to say to your viewers, Understanding the Threat, we are the only organization in the country giving citizens and law enforcement tools to map out the jihadi or terrorist network, if you will, in your local community. We are giving police investigative tools to actually go after the network, the organizations, the individuals. And we're the only ones in the country working with state leaders on how to dismantle the networks at the state level. We have a massive jihadi network here in the United States, as evidenced by the events that are just getting worse and worse over these last 10 to 12 years. And so that's who we are. That's what we do. We're the only ones that do it. And we believe in taking the fight to the enemy and putting freedom back on the offensive where it belongs.
All right. John Guandolo, co-author of the book Sharia, The Threat to America, his new book, Raising a Jihadi Generation. Thank you so much for joining us here at the War Room. I want you to come back and talk to us about why five of the nine hijackers from 9/11 were training at a Sarasota flight school, and why FBI Director Robert Mueller did nothing about it and then later sought to cover it up. John Guandolo, we look forward
choose
to
take
you
control
back
of
the
your
war room. Infowars.com/show.
The left promises to launch a communist revolution. We promise to stand in their way. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. My name is Jake Lloyd, one out of two of your hosts. My co-host for the rest of this hour is the Roger Stone. And I was thinking during the break, actually, because we've been talking about all of these shady people in the deep state. We've been talking about the way they're going after, they're propping up this scapegoat as Carter Page. We're talking about John Brennan, very, very nasty guy, evil, really, scumbag. We have all of these people, James Comey, Peter Strzok, all of them, McCabe, and they're all going after these people who have done nothing wrong just to cover up their own scandals, like, as Roger said, which is worse than Watergate. And one of these people that they're going after unjustly is Roger Stone. and he's under attack all the time. He's not faltering. He's continuing to fight on InfoWars. He writes his own stuff. He does a lot of work fighting against this deep state that has formed over the past however many decades that goes after innocent people in order to continue the reign of the military-industrial complex. And it's hard, folks. It's not cheap. So if you want to support Roger Stone in his fight against these deep state globalists and their arbitrary lawfare, you can go to thestonedefensefund.com. Thestonedefensefund.com. You can donate however much you're able. It is very expensive when you have these people, the government, this tyrannical deep state government, waging frivolous lawsuit warfare against you. So please go and support Roger Stone at stonedefensefund.com. And that kind of leads me into a question for you, Roger. You know, we have these people, John Brennan, James Comey, McCabe. They lie under oath. They say things. John Brennan, for example, said that there were many things that led to this FISA warrant. The Steele dossier was not the primary one. They tell all of these different lies, and it's been exposed that they perjure themselves. Do you think that these people will actually be brought to justice, or do you think that we'll see this get shoved to the wayside yet again?
You know, Jake, that's a great question. It is, at the end of the day, completely and totally up to Donald J. Trump. He has the authority to obtain justice in this matter. He has political counselors who have told him not to act. I think that that is a mistake. Look, CNN has reported that Special Counsel Mueller is focusing on my personal finances. Reuters and the New York Times have both reported that as many as 8 of my current or former associates have been interrogated, browbeat by FBI agents sent by Robert Mueller. They continue to ask intensely personal questions about my private life, my family life, my business activities, my political activities that have nothing whatsoever to do with the 2016 election or Russian collusion. They harass my friend Kristen Davis, who is a single mother of enormous talents, who once ran the largest call girl ring in the United States, who paid a heavy price for her violation of the law, did her time, paid her debt to society, and is now seeking to launch a cosmetology business and knows nothing whatsoever about Russian collusion, WikiLeaks collaboration, or anything pertaining to the 2016 election. The truth is that Kristen Davis was not working for me or with me in 2015 or 2016, only joining me in December of 2016 when I paid her for work that actually began in January. It shows you the extent to which Mr. Mueller and his agents are engaged in a witch hunt, a fishing expedition, a violation of her Fourth Amendment constitutional rights. She now has to go out and pay for exceedingly expensive attorneys to represent her in a matter in which she knows nothing. It is illustrative of the abuses in Robert Mueller's partisan-motivated investigation. Who are the Republicans on his strike force? Jake,
and you brought up the Fourth Amendment.
Of the prosecutorial team are donors to Donald Trump? The answer would be none. The naked partisanship of the Mueller probe is clear. But being in the crosshairs of an all-powerful federal prosecutor, being sued by the Democratic National Committee, by Barack Obama and his associates in a series of sore loser lawsuits, and the constant drumbeat of the left-wing conspiracy theory that Roger Stone worked with Russian intelligence to hack the DNC and then gave the information to WikiLeaks is a fairy tale for which there is no evidence and there never will be. So Mr. Mueller can browbeat as many of my friends and associates as he wishes, but he will never be able to prove that. And getting witnesses that you have something else on to lie about it isn't going to be sold to a jury or to the American people. It's a witch hunt, Jake, and it is one that threatens to bankrupt and destroy my family. between the House and Senate Intelligence Committee and the lowlifes on them, like Adam Schiff, closely allied with Ukrainian organized crime, a war hawk who is a stooge for the neocons who never met a foreign war he didn't like, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, a man who made millions shorting housing stocks based on information that he learned as a member of the U.S. Senate, a man who scotched a deal in which Julian Assange would have come forward and revealed exactly where he got the information regarding the obtaining of the DNC emails. These partisan criminals seek to destroy me financially. And above all, they want to silence my voice here at InfoWars. In fact, they're part and parcel of the overall plan, a war of censorship that has one goal. Shut InfoWars down. Shut Alex Jones up. Get them and their colleagues like you, Jake, and Owen Schroyer, David Knight, Millie Weaver, and so many other hardworking investigative journalists, get us off of InfoWars. Get us off of YouTube, off of Facebook, off of Twitter, off of Google. Silence them. That is their goal. Don't mistake for a moment the seriousness of the legal assault on Alex Jones and InfoWars. These multi-million dollar harassment lawsuits are designed to generate terribly negative, viciously false headlines and to use those headlines as the justification for censorship, an un-American concept under our First Amendment. That's why we need your loyal support at the InfoWars.com store. It's why we ask you to consider a contribution of $25, $50, $100, $500, $1,000, $10,000 if you can afford it, because InfoWars is the tip of the spear. Because Alex Jones has the courage and the fortitude to take on Soros and the globalists and the deep state where others do not. Don't let them silence our voice. Don't let them shut InfoWars down. Please make a generous contribution today. And while you're at it, stop by the StoneDefenseFund.com. I'm in the fight for my life, and I need your support. InfoWars faces the same efforts to annihilate us and silence us. We need your support there as well. God bless you. I'll be right back.
InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're on the War Room. Today, your co-hosts, Roger Stone and Jake Lloyd. Every once in a while on Twitter, you will see something that is extraordinarily amusing. We have a little music video for you here that meets that criteria.
No, there ain't no smoking gun, and you can't place a spy just to find one.
We're the deplorable fire.
Put hands up on this Clinton for that fake dossier. clapper. They'll all be hamburg.
So what's great about that is the way that liberals, with no sense of irony, are posting this and mocking it because it's country and Western music, and obviously all of Donald Trump's supporters are hayseeds. We're hicks. We're working people, you know, morons. The lack of the recognition of their own snotty elitism is extraordinary. What I particularly liked was the reference to John Brennan. Yes, Mr. Brennan, a paid consultant for CNN, is a psychopathic criminal, and he is going down. The American people will demand it. His epic lies, his role in the creation and covering up of the dossier, are about to be exposed. I hope you're listening, Mr. Brennan. We're coming for you. As the lady said in the song, you're going down. Jake?
I think we should send that to John Brennan. I don't know what the best way, the best line of communication might be. Maybe we can email it to him. I don't know if he has a public email for press inquiries and stuff, but maybe we should send that to him. Maybe he might finally get the message. I don't know. Maybe he's already shaking in his boots. Maybe that's why he flips out so often on Twitter. Maybe he's just projecting his fear onto Donald Trump when he says things like, you better watch out because we're going to get you. Maybe he really knows that he needs to watch out because we are going to get him. Not forever. We will not have to bear with these people for that much longer, I don't think. I think that justice will be done. I think that justice will finally find these people where they are, and we will finally be rid of them, Roger. That is what I think. I think that John Brennan and his ilk, his disgusting little friends, his slimy worms, I think they're all going to go down very, very soon. I don't know if it's in a couple years. I don't know how long it will be exactly, but I think that it will be very soon.
Well, who can forget when John Brennan warned the president-elect of the United States, quote, you better watch your mouth. John, stop threatening the president of the United States. We're on to you. You're busted. You're not respectable. Nobody's buying your line of BS. As John Guandolo revealed today, right here at the War Room, John Brennan is a convert to radical Muslim. John Brennan was recruited by Saudi intelligence when he was stationed in Saudi Arabia in Riyadh as the station chief of the CIA. So Mr. Brennan is facing a tough road. Instead of investigating my associates and friends, instead of trying to subpoena them, I would suggest that it is Mr. Brennan who ought to be investigated. The jig is up. It's extraordinary the way the mainstream media's and their Democratic handmaiden friends had a talking point last week of the president doesn't trust his own intelligence services over the claims of Vladimir Putin. This is extraordinary. General James Clapper, caught lying under oath about whether the government had a metadata collection program on American citizens. Andrew McCabe, lying about his leaking to the media about the dirty dossier. James Comey, former FBI director, lying under oath about whether there was a broad mosaic of information that justified the FISA warrant on low-level Trump volunteer Carter Page. John Brennan, the former CIA director, lying about whether he was spying on a U.S. Senate committee engaged in their legitimate function of oversight on the illegal use of torture by the CIA. Why should the president believe these bipartisan criminals? The last president of the United States who believed our intelligence services was John F. Kennedy. We know how that worked out. It is almost comical to to see the fake news media like Vox, who has a headline up right now saying that Donald Trump is a deeply unpopular president. What do you libtards know about interpreting public opinion research material? The answer would be nothing. You're shedding your credibility in a naked attempt to be more commercially viable and to corner the market on Trump derangement syndrome. It's a shame. Vox used to be a pretty good media outlet that covered the pop culture in a fairly even-handed way. But now they're down there with the Daily Beast, Think Progress, and the worst of them all, Raw Garbage, totally fake news sites, putting up stories that have no basis in fact whatsoever, and then boosting their SEO so even more libtards feed off the libtard disinformation. Thank goodness we here at InfoWars are committed to bringing you the truth, the facts, and to do so in an unvarnished way. Alex Jones and the entire crew and cast here at InfoWars is committed to independent investigative journalism. We're not afraid of the globalists. We don't fear George Soros or the thuggery of the deep state, which seems to be continued to be committed to undoing the results of the 2016 election. Thanks for joining us here on The War Room. And before we're done, please stop by the InfoWars.com site and check out our extraordinary specials on some of the most effective nutraceutical products on the face of the planet. Alex Jones and the scientists he works with at InfoWars have a way of fusing ancient Oriental and Asian medicine, herbal medicine, effective for centuries, with cutting-edge nutraceuticals to create some of the most effective all-natural products you can find anywhere in the marketplace. Silver Bullet, for example, the very best colloidal silver product available today. Please go to the InfoWars.com site. We need your support. Thank you for joining us here at The War Room. Thanks to my co-host, Jake Lloyd. And let me leave you with this important final thought. Victory or death.
Absolutely, victory or death it is. Please check out the InfoWarsStore.com and Stone Defense Fund if you want to support Roger Stone and InfoWars in the ever-present fight for freedom against the fake news media, the deep state, the military-industrial complex, you name it. We're fighting hard. We're not backing down, but we need your support. We'll be right back on the other side with more of The War Room.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome to The War Room. Check out this latest report from our newest reporter, Greg Reese.
Webster defines pedophilia as a sexual perversion in which children are the preferred sexual object. It is child abuse, and perhaps the worst crime in human society, for it quite often destroys a person's chance of living a balanced and healthy life. This is a subject that most people do not want to talk about, which has allowed it to proliferate. But now that the Trump administration is waging war against the global slave network, the creepy monsters are coming out of the woodwork.
Let's just go ahead and look at what James Gunn is saying. James Gunn is talking openly about, you can read these for yourself. James Gunn retweets Peter Alton, "I like it when blank, blank." Then he talks about being touched, sick stuff. Then Peter Alton had tweeted out, "Why is James Gunn always hanging out with, large human being and one extremely small human being?" So that's a little, that's a little bit weird, right? Why is he always hanging out with the large one? It sounds to me like that's probably his bodyguard, and then that probably means the child. But, you know, we don't know for sure, but this is the kind of thing that needs to be explained.
After Mike Cernovich exposed the advocacy for pedophilia and child rape openly being expressed by Hollywood director James Gunn, the media and celebrity culture actually defended it. Fellow Holly weirdo Michael Ian Black was also exposed for having a long trend of what he calls jokes, including several about raping his own children. He claimed that comedians such as George Carlin and Richard Pryor would do the same. But I do not ever recall a time when pedophile jokes were acceptable, and I have zero interest in seeing that change. In fact, I hope to see society remain staunchly intolerant of it. And if you agree with this, then you should be concerned, because they live among us, and they are vying for social acceptance and protections under the law. In 1978, we saw the formation of NAMBLA, which advocates for sex between adults and children of all ages. In 1990, we saw the formation of the International Pedophile and Child Emancipation Organization, which today represents 20 countries across three continents. In 2003, Before You Act was created to help mental health professionals learn more about attraction to minors and to consider the effects of stereotyping, stigma, and fear. In 2010, Canadian Parliament was addressed by psychologist Von Gazegem, who said that true pedophiles have an exclusive preference for children, which is the same as having a sexual orientation. And now these international politically active pedophiles have renamed themselves Minor Attracted Persons, or MAPS, for easy inclusion into the LGBTQIA2S community. With all of this going on, the thousands of arrests, the normalization of pedophilia, the mainstream media has just about nothing to report on the subject, as if they are silently advocating child sex. We heard a big fuss when Elon Musk tweeted, "Pedo guy," which I'm guessing he said because of Thailand's well-known pedophile sex trade. I don't know. I get that it's not cool to casually accuse people of being a pedophile, but you know what's a trillion times worse than that? Pedophilia.
This is like, I like bad jokes. I mean, come on. I have a gallows humor, but when it comes to children, like, that's where I draw the line. So I don't like to promote my stuff during really serious things like that. Like, this is not fun. I'm not having fun. I'm not glad. I felt like throwing up last night. I couldn't sleep. I just thought about all the children they're hurting at Disney. I thought about all the children. James Gunn, God knows what they're doing.
All right, that was an excellent report on a very tragic subject by our newest reporter, Greg Reese. Great stuff from him. You're going to see a lot more. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. This is The War Room. Well, that was a great report from our newest reporter, Greg Reese. He makes some great, great videos here at Infowars.com. He's actually now working with us full time. He actually submitted that due to the contest. Not that particular report, but he submitted one he did. You've likely seen it, I'm sure you have, about the purifying the rainwater with the volcano in Hawaii, all these different things. He's made some very, very good reports, and now he's coming on board with the Infowars team. And that's what we do. We always strive to bring on the type of people that are going to bring you information, new creative information. And those are, you know, that's that report in particular. We talked about that topic with Ollie Alexander earlier today in the show. I mean, these are sick. These are sick, disgusting, disgusting people, folks. I mean, there's a lot of messed up stuff. There's a lot of sick, satanic stuff out there that these people do, you know, whether it be Hollywood or the government. You know, you see in Britain, for example, many years back, there was a pedophile ring within the government in the UK that was broken up. But at the highest levels of this satanic trash, it always centers around hurting children. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of them is because of the innocence of a child. They get high off of hurting children. There's also the blackmail factor. If you can get somebody to do something that depraved, that disgusting, that degenerate, that heinous, then you can basically control them. You can get them to do whatever you want. Because in our society, that is, I mean, that's really probably the worst thing that anybody can do, is abuse a child in that way. And if it goes out to the public, then basically life ruined, usually. So there's a reason that this stuff goes on, but it's an affront to humanity. It's an affront to morality, and it's an affront to God, really. That's what it is. It's hurting his most precious creation, and that's what they want to do. These people are sick, evil, evil, disgusting people. And I don't like support vigilante justice typically. And I never support violence, folks. I'm a very nonviolent person. I'm probably the most nonviolent person you've ever met, actually. But, you know, I wouldn't feel bad. I wouldn't feel bad for them if there was some vigilante justice to take place, because a lot of times people in high up places, you know, they don't exactly, you know, maybe they get a few months if it's something that's not a huge public outrage. Maybe they can get a few months and just get shoved under the rug a little bit. Maybe they get a few years. Maybe, you know, rarely do they ever get life for this type of thing. Practically never do people up in these high levels of society, practically never do they get the death penalty. I think they should get the death penalty. I think that when you do something that horrible, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to blend back into society? Are you going to be, you're going to be reintegrated, reformed into society after doing something like that? No, no way. No way, no way, no way. And I do support the death penalty for convicted pedophiles. And, you know, I would not advocate such a thing, but for these people who don't get the punishment they deserved, I wouldn't feel bad for them if they were hurt by somebody. I would not advocate that, but I would not feel bad. But anyways, that's the state that we're living in. But luckily, there are people out there who are willing to expose this stuff. I mean, I was kind of there. I was on Twitter. I spend way too much time on Twitter. And I was kind of there when it first started happening. Somebody like retweeted, they're like, hold the phones. What is this? You know, they like retweeted a picture, or maybe they retweeted the actual tweet of the stuff that James Gunn was saying, the Disney director of Guardians of the Galaxy. And they retweeted and they're like, whoa, this guy works for Disney. This guy is directing Guardians of the Galaxy and whatever else he directed. And then I kind of saw it, and I immediately was like, check this out. Like, this is messed up stuff. And then people like Mike Cernovich started picking it up. And he was kind of the first high-profile figure to really kind of get on that and start pushing it out there. And we see James Gunn now being forced out of his job as a director, which is good. You know, he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, so I don't know if the government should arrest him yet until, I mean, maybe he should be arrested and investigated, actually, but I'm not saying he should be thrown in jail just yet because he hasn't been convicted. I wouldn't feel bad about that. I wouldn't feel bad if, you know, well, you can kind of get it. But yeah, so James Gunn fired from his director's position, and now Hollywood, because, you know, Hollywood is just like you, folks. Hollywood, they're good people. They just have more money than us. It's no big deal. They're actors. They're smart. They know about global warming. You're stupid. You're too stupid to know about global warming. You need them to tell you about global warming. You need them to tell you how we need universal health care. We need them to tell us that illegal immigration is good. It's an act of love. It's good for us. It's good if illegal immigration just flows through unabated, if we just have a constant stream. We're at 1 million immigrants per year. How about 10 million a year? Why not? Everybody has a right to be here, right? Because no human being is illegal. We need them to tell us that. But then we go after them. We just expose the fact that they say this disgusting, heinous trash about children, about hurting children violently, sexually. Yeah, yeah, we're outrage mob. And then we have Ben Shapiro. Should James Gunn have lost his job at Disney? Oh my gosh, Ben Shapiro, wow. Yeah, he says, well, the tweet on Twitter, he said, look, I think that James Gunn is an a-hole, but ... we can't let the outrage mob control public discourse. We have to be reasonable. I am done being reasonable. I'm a very reasonable person. I've been reasonable practically. I mean, I've never really been an unreasonable, like, political ideologue or something. I don't plan on being one now, but I am done being reasonable. I'm done with this, like, nonsense about taking the high road when it's taking the high road to expose pedophiles. You dummy, you moron. How dumb do you have to be? Like, and this is why I say, I don't know. I wouldn't accuse Ben Shapiro of being controlled opposition, but maybe he is. I don't know. It sure looks like it when he says that. Let's see what he says about Roseanne Barr, because she was fired by ABC. Who owns ABC? Disney. But they, you know, it's okay for them to fire her, but it's not okay for them to fire James Gunn. And so he says, let's see. He said, contrast the situation with Roseanne. Roseanne was a well-known crazy person for decades. Oh, well, then it's okay, right? Because she's crazy. Look, Roseanne has said some really dumb stuff. She used to be super, super anti-gun, anti-conservative, like saying some really dumb stuff during the Obama years. But these days, suddenly she's a conservative icon and she needs to be shown the door. So anyways, but Roseanne also played herself in the series. So when she made a new racist reference about a new one, because she's always racist, the Jewish woman, the Jewish Nazi, right? The Jewish Nazi. Yeah, I bet. Sure. Got it, Ben Shapiro. God, what a dummy. What a moron. Like, for as much as he talks about his like Harvard experience, you know, I graduated Harvard Law and like blah, 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 like however old he was, like he sure is dumb for a lawyer. Like you sure are dumb, dude. Anyways, but Roseanne also played herself in the series. So when she made a new racist reference about Valerie Jarrett, if there's actually, a video out there, I don't know where it is, 'cause I think she went on TV recently. There's a tweet out there somewhere. I don't know, but I don't know if we can have that word on air anyways, but she said, I thought the B was white. Like, she's being interviewed. Like, why did you say this? And she's like, I thought she was white. I thought she was white. And then she screams, I thought the B word was right or white. White. So there was no racist intent. There was no racist intent. And I mean, frankly, Valerie Jarrett does not look black. She doesn't look black at all. But anyways, these are the double standards that might make somebody, if you think that way, it might make you think that Ben Shapiro is controlled opposition because he likes seeing conservatives. Oh, it's the free market whenever conservatives get canned from their shows. But whenever conservatives expose left-wing Hollywood weirdo pedophile jokes, folks, it's just a joke, then it's the outrage mob. It's the outrage mob controlling public discourse. We have to be reasonable. We need Ben Shapiro to tell us how to be reasonable, just like we need Hollywood to tell us how we can't drive an SUV while they fly private jets. We'll be right back. This is The War Room. My name is Jake Lloyd.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Jake Lloyd, I am your host for today's edition of The War Room. We've had a great show so far. We had some good guests in the first hour. We had Vince James of the Red Elephants talking about the evolution and the weaponization of our immigration system over the past 50 years, about the past half century. Then we had Ollie Alexander come on the show and talk about the exposing of these pedophiles in Hollywood, alleged pedophiles, I should say. We don't know if they're actually pedophiles. I won't make that claim, but they are allegedly pedophiles. They make some questionable tweets, etc. So we don't know if they're pedophiles. I wouldn't say that yet because they haven't been convicted of that in a court of law, but they say some questionable stuff. So we'll leave it at that. We talked about that. And then the fact that Ben Shapiro may or may not be controlled opposition. I don't know, that somebody else should look into that. We talked about that. And I kind of went on a rant about that in the last segment. Roger Stone was on in the second hour and we had another good guest on. We were talking about John Brennan and these deep state cronies. John Brennan, I mean, like, really, really, guys, this is your hero to the left. John Brennan, Robert Mueller. Like, these people are like, how dumb do you have to be, first of all, to prop up Robert Mueller? Like, is there no one? The answer is no, by the way. I will tell you before I... Is there no one with a clean record that would... Is there no one with a clean record on the liberal, like, political spectrum, really? Because Robert Mueller, I mean, he was involved in, like, covering up the Saudi involvement in 9/11. He was involved in suppressing other information. He has... Oh, okay. Robert Mueller, if you guys can look this up, Robert Mueller had a serious issue with violating the Fourth Amendment. There's a, I think it's by The Hill, which is by no means a right-wing article, or a right-wing newspaper, by no means, not a right-wing website. And there's an article out there somewhere, I think it's by them, that says that John Brennan had a serious issue with abiding by the Fourth Amendment, which is that you don't, you know, you don't go and seize people's articles or their papers or anything like that, or you don't even search them without a warrant. Robert Mueller had a serious issue with that. Now we're trusting him. We're trusting him to be the arbiter of truth as to whether or not there are Russians in our election system, whether or not the Russians are colluding with Donald Trump. We're trusting this guy, this moron. So that's them. Like, and we talked about John Brennan, who is a radical Islamic convert. That's just true. And Roger's guest actually went into that, Mr. John Guindolo, who is the author of Raising a Jihadi Generation. And he talked about how John Brennan is an Islamic convert. We talked about his perjury. I mean, these are the people that we're dealing with, folks. We have all of these people. They go under oath and they just lie. I mean, John Brennan said things like this. James Comey said things. I'm sure Andrew McCabe did. But they perjure themselves. They're like, well, you know, the warrant was based on a broad spectrum of different things. We had a lot of reason to believe that Trump had collusion with the Russians. So, you know, we had to get the visa warrant. And then they also say things like, well, we don't know who commissioned the Steele dossier. It just like showed up. It just showed up on our desk, and we're like, "Oh my gosh, is this true?" And it says in the dossier, and you know, this is true. So it's like, well, we gotta, you know, prosecute, obviously. So, and then it comes out that in fact, high levels of the DOJ and the FBI actually knew that it was the Hillary Clinton campaign that was funding this dossier. So they lied there, and they also lied when they said that there were a lot of things that were used to gain this FISA warrant, when in reality, it was just this. And we all know that it's trash, it's garbage, it's toilet paper, it's nothing. And if you read it, what kind of serious person do you, like, what, tell me, seriously, if anybody knows, contact me on Twitter or something, email, whatever, what kind of serious person reads this? Trump goes to Russia. Trump hires prostitutes. Or maybe, I don't remember if he hires them or if the Russians had them sent to his room where there are cameras in the hotel room. And Trump asks the prostitutes to urinate on the bed. Why? Because Obama slept in that bed. And he just wants to get back. He hates Obama so much. He just like, he slept in that. I'm going to have somebody pee in it. Are you kidding me? How old are you people? I mean, really, these are the people, these are the serious people that are going to take down Trump. Okay, got it. So anyways, I've had enough of these people, man. I have had enough of these people. You know, we have record high taxes. Well, not record high. I think the record was in like the 70s or something, but you get the point. We have exorbitant taxes. We have unprecedented government spying. This is another one. The government's not spying you. The government's not listening in on you. And then the NSA stuff comes out, and it turns out they're collecting documents and data on every single American citizen at home and abroad, as well as every other country. So our Fourth Amendment is basically null and void. In some circumstances, they can suspend your habeas corpus. They can basically throw the Bill of Rights out of the window. And we're over here just saying, like, you know, oh, well, you know, it's pretty good because at least we have football and stuff. It's like, dude, meanwhile, in 1776, right about now, our forefathers were fighting a war over some taxes that they didn't like. They're like, Yeah, no, I don't want to pay extra taxes on tea. You didn't ask my permission. It was about representation. We didn't have representation in Parliament. They want to tax us. No, I don't think so. So that was the issue. So we went and we dumped their tea in the harbor. We started dumping tar, hot tar and feathers on British loyalists. I'm not advocating that now. I'm not advocating that now. But they were doing some serious stuff, like sending a serious message. And, you know, not to mention fighting a literal war. And I'm not saying that we should start a civil insurrection right now. I'm just saying, like, we need to be less afraid of them. There are more of us than there are of them. What percent of the population do these people make up? Because we don't even have to go to war. I don't even think we need to go to war at this point. We have Donald Trump in office. We have a majority in the House and in the Senate that are at least, you know, us that are at least kind of fighting for freedom, kind of. At the very least, they're not actively trying to destroy it. So we don't need to start a war. All we need to do is flex our muscle a little bit. We've got like over 300 million Americans in the United States. Say that 150 of them are Democrats and they hate freedom. They hate liberty. They hate guns. They hate America. They hate, you know, you, me, everything. Just for the sake of the argument, that's still 150 million people. Cut it down in half. That's 75 million people. Cut that in half. That's like 35 million people. That's a lot of people. There's like maybe a few thousand people in government. Okay. The military's not, we just need to flex the muscle a little bit. Okay. That's what I'm saying. No civil war. We don't need that. If anybody starts a civil war, it's going to be them so they can seize power. So don't get me wrong, folks. All I'm saying is we just need to say, stop messing around with us. You know, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me because there's more of me than there are of you. And if you want us to keep spreading the message and growing the number of us as we have been for years and years, Alex Jones has been since the 1990s, then please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Support us. If you buy the products, then we get the money. We take it to hire new people like Greg Greese, excellent reporter, great stuff. And you get an excellent product as well as continued InfoWars coverage and us fighting back against the globalists. So please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. My name is Jake Lloyd. This is The War Room. We'll be right back on the other side with more from The War Room.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
It is The War Room, but it is not Owen Schroyer. My name is Jake Lloyd. I am filling in for Owen Schroyer. We've had a great show for you today, folks. I've really enjoyed it. We've had some great info, lots of crazy stuff going on in the world. Some cases, new stuff like this, exposing these pedophiles, which is good. It's about time some of these sickos go down. Alleged pedophiles. It's about time some alleged pedophiles go down, as well as regular pedophiles. We've been talking about a lot of good stuff, but I encourage you, if you like this type of news, real news, that is, if you like this, the InfoWars programming, Alex wants to expand it. We already have 10 hours a day, starting with David Knight in the morning at 8 a.m., going all the way here on The War Room until 6 p.m. Alex wants to expand eventually to 24 hours a day, I believe. And if you want to see that happen, if you want us to be fighting 24/7, day in and day out against the globalists, against the deep state, the military-industrial complex, the cultural Marxist left, all of our enemies. I mean, we're besought on all sides by enemies, folks. Not just against America, but against us as well, individually. Frivolous lawsuits being filed against InfoWars, against Alex Jones, even against employees of InfoWars. And the only way that we can fight it, the only way that we can survive is with your support. You have been faithful in supporting us. We strive every day to be faithful to you in fighting the good fight. And we ask that you continue to do so. And if you haven't tried it before, just try a new product. Try one of them. And I guarantee that you'll probably like it. So if you do like it, then, you know, you've got a new product to use. You feel better. You feel healthier. You feel like you have more energy. A little bit of a higher, healthier testosterone level with Alpha Power. Super Silver, you can clean wounds, wound dressing gel. So you get an excellent benefit, even if there was no InfoWars, even if this was just a store, you get a great product for a great price. And you get to support the fight for freedom, InfoWars, the front line, the tip of the spear In Truth Journalism. Be sure also to go to Infowars.com/show to view all of the live streams and download the new Infowars official app. I believe that it's Infowars official. It is on the App Store for Apple and it is on Google Play. Download it. I actually got it before it was released as a trial run, and it is, I mean, it is excellent. It is one of the best. You know, the one we had before was good. It was good. But this one is like amazing. This is one of the best news apps, user interface wise, that I've ever had. So it's really good. We have a good team that works on developing this stuff. So download that and you can get all of your InfoWars news. You can get your InfoWars fix right from your phone on the go. And I don't know if the store is on there, but maybe the store is on there and you can order your InfoWars products on the go too. So anyways, that is how you can support us here at Infowars.com and everything that we do. You know, we're in this together, folks. We do what we do. You know, that is one of the many ways that you can fight back and you can do your part to free America from globalist control. So speaking of globalist control, one of the ways they do it is by sending in all these different groups. They have, you know, they have Europe. Europe's doing okay. This is in the past, obviously. Europe's doing good. How can we do that? Well, you know, we can destabilize a region adjacent to Europe, known as the Middle East. We can cause problems there. We can create a problem so that we, you know, have to have a solution. And the solution can be for everybody from the Middle East to go into Europe. And before we do that, we need to condition Europeans to think that it's racist to want foreigners who come to their country to speak their language. In Germany, like, it's racist to think that people coming to Germany should speak German. It's racist to think that people coming to France should speak French. It's racist to think that people coming to England should speak English, etc. You get the point. So they condition them that way. And then they have all of these, this flood of people who are not going to assimilate. They come under the premise of being refugees, asylum seekers, until their country is no longer at war. And then they just stay there. They just have, you know, they just set up shop, and whether they get to stay there forever legally or maybe they just don't go back whenever their time is up, they just stay there. And so now we have all these people, this country within a country, this community within a community that is not friendly to the rest of the communities. And this is how you split countries. This is how you fracture nations and civilizations. It's like a piece of wood, like a plank. If you start driving a little stake, it doesn't have to be an axe. You don't have to chop it in half. You don't have to come at it aggressively, do it in one fell swoop. You can just put a tiny little stake in the log and you just slowly hammer it in. Eventually, the log will split. This is a strategy. You create these tiny little enclaves of different countries, different... and the thing is, you know, here in the West, we base things... historically, we've tried basing things on ideas. We say, if you believe these things and you come here, you learn our language, you live as we do, we can live happily ever after. Well, unfortunately for us in our system, we bring over these people. They base their civilization completely on ethnicity. So they came over here and they don't see us as, you know, fellow countrymen just because they live here. And like, are you joking? Really? Ha ha. It's super funny because no, they believe that they are here in order to take over our land. These people who come, these refugees, quote, refugees. There are some people who are actually in a lot of danger. And that's why this is another reason this is so bad, because it takes away the seriousness. It takes away the heaviness that you hear when you hear the word refugee, because, you know, it used to be refugee was a serious thing. But now you hear refugee and you go, oh, yeah, sure, refugees. But they come here and they think that they're taking over. They want to, like, this is just what they believe, folks. They believe that they're going to come here and they're going to dominate the civilization by outbreeding. Not only are they going to outnumber the native population in Europe, I mean, you know, Europeans are indigenous to that land. We hear a lot about indigenous peoples and how bad we've been to them. Europeans are indigenous to Europe. So, I mean, what's the, like, why do they get to do that? So they get there, and not only do they want to overpopulate them, but they want to, like, breed them out of existence. We have a story here, lovely headline from Europe.Infowars.com. If you go to Infowars Europe, I believe InfowarsEurope.com will take you, redirect you here. But Sweden is teaching migrants how to have sex with blondes. Now, this is not just a Swedish company. This is not a Swedish organization or a nonprofit or a non-governmental organization. This is funded in part by the Swedish government. It is available in Swedish, Arabic, and English. And it teaches you how that you, as a migrant, can have sex with white, beautiful Swedish women, as they were promised. If you look somewhere through here, I'm going to look exactly where it is. There's a site. Yeah, it's here on the back at the bottom of the article. My back page, the bottom of the article. It's a, I can't read it because it's in Arabic, but there's pictures of Swedish women there. And here on this other page, it says, among other things, the Arabs are promised their own free, young, and willing blonde Swedish girlfriend if they manage to illegally get all the way to the promised land in Northern Europe, reported Spiesa.com in 2015, which displayed one of the advertisements, and that's the picture that I showed you there. So they are told, folks, that this is not poor people. This is not people coming from a war-torn country trying to escape. This is people who, like, I mean, if I was living in Iraq or Syria or whatever, and I was one of these people, and I'm like, well, it's kind of a bad place to live, but it's always been a bad place to live. So, I mean, you know, what's the big deal? And they're like, hey, if you go to Sweden, if you go to Germany, not only will you get free money, not only will you get free housing, not only will you be able to rape people, burn buildings, you know, party like crazy, flipping cars over whenever your team wins the World Cup. Not only do you get all that, you get a free, young, willing, beautiful, blonde Swedish woman. I mean, who in Iraq would not want to take that up? So these people are not coming here because, oh, we're so afraid. We have to get away. We have to get away from the evil, bad Bashar al-Assad, who only wants to, you know, get the terrorists out of his country. No, they're coming here for the blonde women. They're coming here for money. They're coming here for things that they don't, they could live in their own country. They don't need a hot blonde Swedish girlfriend, okay? They don't need that. So they have to go back. As Donald Trump says, they have to go back. This is a disgusting, you should check this out on europe.infowars.com. It's even worse than you think, but it's an interesting read for sure. We're going to be getting into more of the migrant crisis on the other side of this break. This is InfoWars. This is The War Room. Check us out at warroom.show, on Twitter, at warroomshow. My name is Jake Lloyd, your host for the rest of this 5 o'clock hour. This is The War Room. We'll be right back with more on the other side of this break. Stay with
me. The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We're rolling into the final segment of today's edition of The War Room. I am your host, Jake Lloyd. Had a great show for you today, folks. And I've started every segment with that and, like, recapping for you. I want to not do that, but it's been a great show. It's been very fun for me. Very good show. Lots of good guests. And I have, you know, every time I come on the show, sometimes I just come with, like, two articles and, like, a cup, like, three bullet points, and I just go, and it's good. And then sometimes I bring in all of these articles because I feel like I need to talk about everything, and then I don't get through half of it. I don't even get through half of some of this stuff that I wanted to talk about. We've got so many articles out here today, but we'll try to get through some of it. We're going to keep going with the migrant crisis a little bit. Maybe we'll be able to get into Syria briefly because, actually, let's just finish that up real quick. Syria. You know, when the bombs dropped that first night, it was a little bit nerve-wracking. Don't get me wrong. It was like, oh, man, what's going on, Trump? What are we doing? He said we weren't going to do this. Don't go to war with Syria, please. And we didn't. It looked like he might. We weren't sure. But he didn't. And a lot of people thought he was going to, you know, that night. I'm saying, like, that night, everybody has in the past for that night, freaking out because it was kind of freaky just out of nowhere. But after that, it's like, okay, he's not, no boots on the ground, no long-term commitment. It seems very good, okay? A lot of people were very mad at him still. They're like, he's a neocon. He's a this, he's a that. He's compromised by the deep state. Blah, 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 blah. We're dumb. We don't listen to people. We don't see the way that things go in the past. We totally forgot about last time this happened 1 year ago, almost to the date. Da, da, da. And then today, we have, well, I don't know if, yeah, this is from a couple hours ago. Government forces close in on last rebel group in southwestern Syria. Now, this means two things. First of all, it means that we did not depose Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria. He's still in charge. The rebels are still the bad guys. they're still fighting the rebels, the Syrian army, that is. So that's good. The other bad thing is because they're about to close in on the last rebel group in southwestern Syria, you know, courtesy of our deep state, which likes to work with jihadi rebel terrorist groups, we might see another staged false flag chemical attack that doesn't exist. But we might see it anyways because, you know, we're getting close to ending this war finally. And if we end this war, it's going to be a lot harder to start another one and eradicate Syria for the neocons and the neoliberals whenever the next president is in office, if they can ever, you know, get another president in office, you know, get past us. So it's going to be a lot harder if we end this war for them, folks. I know it's very sad. I know it's very sad. I'm sure you all feel very bad for hurting the feelings of the military industrial. I know. We would much rather just kill another generation of young men in another 15-year-long war. I know, folks. It's very sad. So the government in Syria is closing in on last rebel group in southwestern Syria. And here's the other thing. You can thank Donald Trump for that. Not just because of what I said of the fact that we just didn't attack Assad, but the fact that, you know, this is another reason you heard a lot about the Russia stuff. We talked about it. Oh, man, Trump met with Putin. He met the president of the United States, met with a world leader. How dare he? It's treason. It's treason. That was obviously to make Trump look bad, obviously to increase this whole Russian collusion narrative, which is just fake news. But it was also to distract from things like this. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin agree on a plan to end the Syrian civil war. And this is the case because Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will remain in power. There will be a permanent ceasefire between Syria and Israel after 70 years in a state of war. They've had an armistice, but they've technically been at war since the 1967 Six-Day War, where in which a lot of countries attacked Israel and shady things were done on all sides, and it was all kind of crazy. Lots of people did a lot of bad stuff. It's war. Crazy stuff happens in war. Well, Israel, of course, took the Golan Heights, which is another kind of a crazy mess that I'm going to be doing a report on, so stay tuned for that. But Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will remain in power. There'll be a permanent ceasefire between Syria and Israel. Damascus will offer guarantees regarding the Jewish... Damascus is the capital of Syria. It will offer guarantees regarding the Jewish state's security, first and foremost by moving Assad's Iranian military allies away from Israel's border. Now, why else is this significant, folks? What were we told? We were told Iran is going to destroy Israel. It's imminent. We have to go to war with Iran now. Now, folks, now, because any moment Iran is going to destroy Israel. Well, not the case. And you, because on account of President Bashar al-Assad and, I mean, Russia, really, it's really Russia, Iran is going to be moving away from Israel's border. Israel's not going to have a problem with Iranian troops if they move away from the border. And you say, but what about the nukes, Jake? What about the nukes? Iran could nuke Israel any moment, just turn it into glass, and it would all be over. Well, first of all, they don't have nukes yet, okay? They don't have nukes yet. We're going to work out a plan before they even do get nukes. Trust me on this. But what's more than that is we have a good relationship with Putin overall, with President Donald Trump, at least. No thanks to the news media. No thanks to the Democrats. No thanks to Hollywood. Anybody that's, you know, not a Trump supporter, really. I won't even say that because that's not true. Americans generally don't care about the Russia thing. It's like 10% of the population or something. I don't remember what the study is. But yeah, even Hillary Clinton had secret meetings with Putin. But because of our good relationship, Trump can come to an agreement with Putin on how to end the Syrian civil war and how to bring peace between Syria and Israel and how, you know, we can guarantee Assad will remain in power. We're not going to take over Syria. We're not going to get into a war over there. Don't you think that we could also do the same with Iran? And I predicted this in a video. I think it's called How Trump Will Bring Peace to the Middle East or something like that on the Alex Jones channel. And I basically lay out this plan, how Donald Trump is going to use this Iran situation. He gets rid of the Iran deal, pushes it to side. It's not good enough. Not only that, but we also need more of a plan. We don't need a Band-Aid on one issue in one country. No, we need a comprehensive, holistic approach to the Middle Eastern problem. What is the Middle Eastern problem? Everybody's attacking everybody. We've got allies with them. They've got allies with these people. These people are attacking these people, and these people are attacking their allies. Ally, what's going on? What is going on? Yeah, that's one of them. I did a series of videos. That's also a good one that you should check out because you can see it right now. People are freaking out about this Trump tweet. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? Can you believe that Trump would go and tweet crazy things at Iran, like, if you do this, like, you'll suffer consequences that nobody has ever suffered before, which is a really good one. Does that sound familiar? Because I think I remember him saying something about fire and fury the world has never experienced before when he was talking to Kim Jong-un. He said he best not threaten the United States anymore. And look at that. Trump to Iran's Rouhani. Never, ever threaten the United States again, or else we will give you consequences that nobody's ever experienced before. So it's not too hard, folks, for neocons. They obviously want to go to war. For Ben Shapiro types, they'd like to go to war because it's not about peace. It's not about that. It's about other things. And that's a whole different topic of why they want to do that, these neocons. But Trump will use, in that video that they put up on the screen there, if you go back and watch it, you will see that Trump, as I predicted, is using all of the same techniques that he used leading up to the peace summit with North Korea. Increased rhetoric, like very, very, very much increased rhetoric, talking about big red buttons, talking about his nuclear arsenal, talking about fire and fury. Well, now, and Kim Jong-un said crazy stuff too. Look at Iran now. Oh, he won't dare attack. Trump said, okay, really? You think so? You don't think so? Trust me, I'll attack. And this is what happened last time with North Korea. Trump is going to use the same tactics that he used in North Korea with Iran. Of course, there's a different goal with Iran. Trump's goal with North Korea is basically total, unconditional disarmament, nuclear disarmament, that is. Trump wants a similar thing in Iran, but for different ends. Rather than using China to use leverage over North Korea, we have who? That's right. Jake, we have Russia. Yeah, because we have a good relationship with Putin now. We have a good relationship with Vladimir Putin and Russia. So now Trump will use Russia to bring Iran to heel. And we're also going to work Syria out. And Iran and Israel are going to stop being at odds, kind of. And Israel will no longer attack Syria or vice versa. That is how Trump is going to bring peace to the Middle East. I predicted it months ago in multiple videos. This is why you should listen to people here at InfoWars, because we know what we're talking about. This is The War Room. It's been a great show. I am glad to fill in for Owen Schroyer. My name is Jake Lloyd. Be sure to check out the InfoWarsStore.com if you'd like to support us. We'll see you tomorrow with Harrison Smith on The War Room.